Good morning, everybody. Welcome this morning. It's good to be together. And as you just find your place, let's just give this time to our Father. Lord God, thank you that you are a great and wonderful God, that you are a loving and merciful and patient God, and you are a God who sees. You see us, you see our lives and what is happening, and we're thankful for that. So, Father, we just ask that as you come and meet with us here this morning and as we are gathered in your name, that your Holy Spirit would be at work amongst us, that we would meet with you this morning and that we would leave changed people because of your work in us and in our lives. We just give this time to you now, and we pray that as we lift our songs of worship and praise, as we lift our prayers and as we look into your word, that you would have your way here this morning and that you would meet with us and we would meet with you and be encouraged and equipped and ready to go out and do what you have for us. Amen. So again, just welcome. So we're starting our service this morning. Just wanted to share a little bit which leads into the first song that we're going to be singing. Many have been asking me over the last couple of weeks about how things are in Lebanon and what's going on there. And I keep in contact or follow a lot of the folks that I used to work with there, particularly in Youth for Christ. And they were sharing a bit of a thought this week about how, you know, with everything that's going on and there's so much uncertainty, and particularly the young people there who are kind of like, you know, what's the point? And there's no hope, and what are we doing? And my friend John there was sharing how, particularly from this verse in 1 Corinthians, says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." And even though we face uncertainty, and again, as Lebanon is particularly facing an uncertain time, God's people are able to stand confident, saying that God has things in store for us, and we may not see them yet and we may not know what they are, but we serve a God who knows and can do more than we can even imagine. And so I'm going to ask us to sing this first hymn together, "Be Thou My Vision." But the first two verses of it will be familiar to you. The second two verses, maybe not so much. These were written by dear friends that I worked with in Beirut back in 2006, after we'd just gone through a horrible war with Israel, and the city again had been quite destroyed in the country, and our infrastructure had been destroyed. And she wrote these two extra verses to this hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." And again, just a reminder that Christ is everything to us. And I love particularly the last two lines, says, "My hope for the future, my strength for this day, my light in the darkness, my rest come what may." And that reassurance that no matter what is coming up and no matter what's before us, that Christ is with us. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we sing a slightly different version of this well-known hymn together, that these words would just encourage you and be a blessing to you. So let's stand as we sing, "Be Thou My Vision." Keep you. Please have a seat. Colin's going to bring us some notices.
Well, welcome. It's lovely to see so many folk braving the virus or whatever. But I have to say that this week we've had a couple of mixed messages from the government and from the Baptist Union, so to speak. One was very strict about distancing. And because places of worship were mentioned, we're not sure whether we might be have a police visit or something. So, if you're sitting with your family group, wonderful. If you're not sitting with your family group and you're aware that there's not 1.5 metres, please, in some inconspicuous way, move. we don't really want... Well, if we have a visit from the police or whoever, that's okay, but we don't really want to have to pay the $5,000 fine, nor do we want to be closed down. So if you could please respect that, that would be wonderful. The focus is coming through electronically, but if you can't link into that, there's one on the back table. And we're just aware as well that the offering box looks enormous, but it's just easy if you want to put your offering in that way, put your offering in, and that's terrific. All right? Notices are on focus. Please take them and read them and use it for prayer. A couple of things, however. Lindy's mentioned Lebanon and something of the situation there. Joey Everett is up in Cape and Ray and possibly going to stay until the end of the year. So we're asking for prayer there for him. And we've also just been told that Bernice, some of you know that she had a fall a little while ago, and everything seemed to be all right, but she went to another doctor who said, I think it's more serious. She actually has a crack in her, one of her bones in her back. So she's in hospital, so no wonder she was in so much pain. So the idea is to get a second opinion, but you don't need that on the Bible. Right, we're right with the first opinion on that. So I'm going to lead us now in prayer for a moment. Our Lord and our God, we lift our hearts to you because you are our God. And in the midst of all that's going on, we are so grateful that you are a God who does not change. We can sing those words, be thou my vision, now and on into the future. And so we trust you, we love you, but we know that that love comes because you first loved us and gave to us Jesus, the one in whose name we're praying. We come before you. Lord, we thank you for the guidance, particularly here, that we've received in South Australia in the midst of the virus. We thank you for the wisdom of those who are leading us. We thank you for the carefulness of those who are prepared to go and have tests and to be checked out. So, Father, continue to guide, we pray, and give wisdom. We pray that on a national level, because other states are not so beneficial as us. Some states are in a bad way, particularly Victoria, and we pray for them. And then we pray for the wider world, where we're hearing all sorts of weird things. We're not sure whether there's vaccinations been discovered or whether it's a hoax. Father, we're just not sure who to trust. So again, we come before you and we reaffirm that our trust is in you, not in the wisdom of people. Father, thank you for what Lindy has shared about Lebanon, and we thank you for the way people are jumping in there to help each other, to care for each other, to clear up the broken glass and to help people to get back into what's left of their homes. Particularly we pray for the Christians who Lindy knew. Pray for them, Lord, that you would be their support and their encouragement. Father, we think of our own situation. We pray for Joey, thanking you for his experience at Cape and Ray, thanking you also for the experience that Daniel Allen is having there. And we pray for both of these young men that you would guide them in their Christian path, that you would give to them a peace and assurance, and by your Spirit you would teach both of them more about yourself, that they might in a way go deeper into you and be equipped for whatever lies ahead of them. We pray too for Bernice, in lots of pain, I guess, where she is in hospital. And Father, again, we come before you thanking you that you're a God who brings healing. So to her, bring your healing, we pray. And to those of us here this morning, we've come with all different things on our minds. We represent family life. We represent circles of joy and of suffering, aspects of uncertainty. And so we come, our Father, and we bring all of these things before you and ask that you would quieten our hearts at this time. Just give to us the reassurance of who you are and that we are your children, loved by you. And we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Right, so any children who'd like to come down to the front, would you come down to the front, please? G'day. How are you, Elise? I do know your name. Yeah, I've got a little girl called Elise too, although she's not so little anymore. Right, would you like to sit on this seat? Can you move up a little bit and let Elise sit at the edge? Thank you. It's good to have you, Mackenzie. We haven't seen you for a little while. We're glad to have you back. Right. Now, last week we talked about this man. Can you remember his name? Good boy, Nehemiah. That's right. Now, he had a very special job. He looked after the king. Yes. And every time the king wanted a drink, Nehemiah had to test to make sure that there was nothing in his drink that would kill him or make his tummy sick. All right? So, whenever the king had his hat on and wanted a drink, what's funny, I wear this all the time. That's right, that's what I drink from at home. That's right, Carly. Yes, so that's that. Now, righto. So, this is what the king normally had. Nehemiah was a cup bearer, which makes sense because he had to carry the cup. A very, very important job, because if someone was clever enough to sneak something in and kill the king, that was the end of Nehemiah. The other thing about it was that when he took the cup into the king, he wasn't allowed to look sad. He had to look happy. So it was a very important job. Very difficult. Right. Now, that's what it was meant to look like. So, Mackenzie, give that a little shake. And stand up, please. Right, give it a turn this way, love, over here. Give it a little shake. So do you reckon if that was in the cup that Nehemiah would give it to the king? What about the colour? No, I don't think if it was green that he'd give it to the king, because he'd be thinking, oh, something funny's there. Can you take the lid off that, please, Johnny? And dip your finger in and then just have a taste. Do you think he'd give that to the king? Why not?
Tastes salty.
A taste salty, right. Oh, yes, so that wouldn't be good. So he wouldn't give that to the king. Right, let's move that there so you can put that one up there, please. Put the lid back on, thanks, mate. Right. Now, can you just give that a bit of a shake, please, Alexander? What do you reckon if something came all frothy like that?
It would be gross.
It would be gross. Yes, I think it would be gross. And I think if suddenly Nehemiah found something that looked a bit shaky, he wouldn't give that. So could you put up there, please? Thank you. Now, Elise, can you see what's in there? What do you think's in there? Would you like to have that in a drink? No. No? You wouldn't like to have that if Mum and Dad gave you a drink and they put that in there? Do you think that'd be good?
No.
No. It's all funny little bits of wood. So, would you like to put that up there, please? Thank you. Right. Thank you. So, Nehemiah had a very important job. And do you know what he did? He listened very carefully to God and what God said. And then he also did what the king asked. And that's really very important for us as people who believe in Jesus. We need to read the Bible and understand what God's saying. But we also need to do the right thing and care for other people. See, if Nehemiah was nasty, he just would have put in some of these if this was poison, or he would have put this in so that the king would have choked, or he would have put this in so it was blurp, horrible in the king's stomach. So he was very, very careful. Now today what I'd like you to do is this. I've got some little cups. And I'd like you to put into that little cup a bit of this. It's not bread, I know. It's a bit of a sponge to remind you of bread. And one or two of these little grapes to remind you of that. And that's really just a reminder that the cup that we're going to take in a moment has not got any of these nasties in it, but it's a wonderful reminder of God's love for us. Now there's some other bits and pieces too. There's a puzzle there with two pictures of Nehemiah before the king with a cup, but actually they're different. There are some differences that you have to find. There's a little puzzle there, and also there's some colouring in. All right? As well, of course, at the back, there's the normal stuff. So, again, Elise, you did such a great job last time. Could you carry those to the back table for me, please? Yes, good. What a lovely girl. Thank you. And Alexander, could you take those, please? And these little cups are for you to take home. And thank you very much. Right.
With all of those things in mind, as well as we prepare to come and share in communion, let's stand and sing together a song, Calvary, a reminder that it is all being done for us on the cross. Let's stand and sing. Salvation complete, now forever.
Well, as we come to sharing communion, and if this is the first day you've been here when we've shared communion, the people bringing it around will actually give it to you so that you don't touch the container and whatever. But we've learned a little bit, hopefully, about what the cupbearer does. We come now to share communion. There's no contamination with what we're going to share. It's pure. It's not offered to the King, but it's actually offered to us by the King in a very special way. It's not offered just to one person, but it's offered to all of us. For the King, if somehow some poison got smuggled in, that would be death for the King and death for the cupbearer. But for us, this is a reminder of the life that Jesus brings. The cupbearer wasn't allowed to be sad in the presence of the King. That would mean death for him. The King would immediately order death. Friends, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, the Bible says. So we take this joyfully, yes. And the focus is on one person, on Jesus. In this situation, it might have been on the King, but in our situation, it's on Jesus. And as the psalmist says, what will I give to God for all of his goodness to me? I shall render up thanks and take the cup of salvation. So today we take a cup as if we're the only person that Jesus is saying, this is just for you. So let's take it with joy, let's take it with thankfulness, and let's be reminded of the salvation that is ours in Jesus. Thank you. Service. So let us eat and drink with grateful hearts, accepting the salvation that God gives, and with joyfulness. Thanks, Peter. If we could have our Bible reading.
Our Bible reading this morning is from, obviously, Nehemiah, and it comes from Nehemiah chapter 2. If you're not sure where Nehemiah is and you've got your Bible, if you get to the start of Psalms and turn left a little way, and it'll come up. Nehemiah and chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, Why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? And then I was, Your face is sad, and seeing that you are not sick, this is nothing but the sadness of the heart. And then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's grave, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And then the king said to me, what are you requesting? And I said to the king, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him the time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make the beams for the gate for the of the temple, or the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon him. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent me officers of the army of the horsemen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. And may God not only bless this word to us, but make it enlarged to us this morning as we, as Colin opens it up for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Just before Colin shares with us, we're going to sing one more song together. And if you'd like to stay seated during this, you can, as we sing, What a Beautiful Name is the Name of Jesus.
Name above all names. What a power.
a seat.
Thank you.
Well, in front of you, you've got a little green outline. If you happen to miss last week, there are some spare copies on the back table bench. So they're there from last week if you just want to catch up with what we looked at. Today, opportunity knocks and God answers. On the front cover of today, we've got this comment, and it's from the area that Peter read to us. I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour, let him send me to the city where my fathers are buried. The king with the queen beside him asked, how long would your journey take? When will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. How amazing. But last week, we looked, and again, I just say that if you didn't get last week's with its bit of a history outline on the back table, but we saw the problem. The wall was broken down. That's the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. Nehemiah didn't immediately rush out and do something. He sat down, he wept, he mourned, he fasted and he prayed, and his prayer revealed these things: God's greatness, the covenant that God had made with his people, sin, and Nehemiah identified in that. Then the specific need. I need to be able to talk to this man, was his specific need. And then we realise the situation. I put Cyrus in there because, again, if you were here with us last week, you'd be aware that Cyrus started a bit of a tradition that if they took people captive, they didn't try and bring them into their way of thinking so much, but what they did was allowed them to keep their own gods, because Cyrus saw that, you know, the more the gods, the merrier for him. So if all different people prayed, well, that'd be great. At least they'd hit the target for him with one of their gods. So that was the story that we got to last week. This week, opportunity knocks and God answers. So as I say, if you've got your little green sheet, you might want to have a look. Now, as I've got there, Susa was the winter resort of Artaxerxes. He was the king in those years, and we're talking about 445-446 BC. I've mentioned about the cupbearer, and you've perhaps picked it up more, and you'll probably remember about that today rather than anything that I say. And if you want to borrow the gold cup, it's for hire. But yes, the cupbearer had such an important job. As I've said, the king could be killed if the cupbearer didn't do his job. So a high official in the court, I've put a comfortable existence. I'm not sure whether you would call it a comfortable existence. It was a sort of a secure job until you did the wrong thing, or until you came into the presence of the king and you were sad. Or obviously, if you're unsure of something and you tasted it, it could be the end of you. So, yes, the interesting thing to me is that here we have a guy who believes in God working in such a prominent position for a pagan king. Now, I just want to say that there are times when Christians think, oh, work. If God has put you in a certain spot, he has you there for a reason. Now, you might be working for someone who's wealthy. Let me say, the poor, of course, need to hear about Jesus. But there are lots of wealthy people who are very poor in spirit, and they need to hear about Jesus. So if you're working for a boss who you think, oh, he or she have got plenty of money, hang on a minute, I simply might be the cupbearer or a certain person in a position who can minister to that person. Each of us is in a certain spot. Now, he'd never been to Jerusalem. He'd only heard about it. He was born in exile. So why even bother about the situation? Why do we even bother about situations that we've not been to or we really know very little about? Well, we bother because, if you read today's focus, there are Christians in other parts of the world who are being persecuted, who are being locked up, all sorts of things are happening. Of course we need to be bothered about them. Of course we need to, although we've never been in their position and we may not never go to their country. We need to be concerned. So, he was very concerned about this. Now, in verse 11 of chapter 1, this is what Nehemiah prayed. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. Da 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 da. I fear your name. Grant mercy in the sight of this man. And all of a sudden, in a remarkable way, the prayer is answered. Because he comes into the king and the king says, you're not looking your normal self. What is going on? So, how amazing. And I've got there. God never puts us in a place that he can't use us. It's only we who put up the barrier to usefulness. We need to be open for God to use us in any situation. Just talking down the street, on the bus, any situation. We never know. Now, sometimes people say, oh, if only I hadn't done this, if only I hadn't chosen that way, if only, yes. But there's a positive. If only we did take the opportunities that God gives us. If only we had our spiritual awareness and we took the opportunities that God gave us. How wonderful that would be. Because he gives us answers to prayer all the time. Just go over our head, I think, sometimes. And God's saying, didn't you pray for this? Oh, did I? And here's the answer. And we need to take it up. We need to take up that situation. During the week, I was part of a little panel of three interviewing a guy for Baptist ministry. And we said to him, well, in the 3 years that you've been sort of in the training thing, what have you learned? And he said, I've learned God answers prayer, but not in the way I prayed them. And I think that that's true. Sometimes we pray a prayer and then God answers it in a way that, I wasn't quite sure of that. Anyhow, he comes in and the king says, You're a bit sad. Isn't it interesting how perceptive the king is? Now, I guess if it meant the cupbearer's life, of course. But how interesting and how alert. I guess Nehemiah in the past had always been a fairly bright button. Well, that was his job, to be alert. But he comes in and straight away the king says, hey, there's something going on. And it's not because you're sick, it's a sadness of your heart. It's interesting, isn't it? We are a combination where not only our heart sad, but it shows on our face. Christians, we can be seen through. Non-Christians read us often much better than we think they do. You know, how do people become Christians? Well, by hearing the word of God. How do you hear the word of God? by someone telling you Jesus loves you and he died for your sin? Well, actually, that might be one way. But they put that together with how we live. They put that together with how we work. So it's no good telling me Jesus loves you and died for my sin and it's a new life if I lead a life where I'm always having sickies and I'm always leaving early and I'm always wanting more money and I'm never doing my job properly. Hang on a minute, I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm having a good look at how you live. Christians, we need to be the best livers, kidneys. We need to be the best livers, but we need to be sharing our faith alongside of that. Cut the rubbish about just talking about Jesus. And I don't mean that's inappropriate and I don't mean to put that down. We need to tell people about Jesus, but we need to live Jesus. That's what we're on about. And this is the story of Nehemiah. He obviously lived a certain faith style. His prayer is answered, but he was afraid, and we are too. Great respect for the king. Let the king live forever. Let the king live forever. And the king says, what do you want? What an answer to prayer. What an opportunity. What do you want, Nehemiah? What do you want? Now, this, I'm sure, is what we've all done. We've been talking to someone, we've been praying, and we've been talking. We've sort of been trying to put this together. And at the same time, talking to God, talking to the person, trying to listen to God, trying to hear what the person's saying. This is a great prayer combination. We do those together. How wonderful. Now, in verse 5, we read, if you've got your Bibles, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in your sight, send me to the city of my fathers, to their graves, that I might rebuild it. How respectful is Nehemiah? He doesn't say, I want this and this and this and this and this and this straight off. No. He acknowledges the king and how good is the king. And then straight away, the king, and he's got the queen there too, which indicates that it might have been a private dinner, because she didn't always accompany him to things. Maybe the fact that she was there put him in a better mood. Who knows? How long will you be gone and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. How amazing! How amazing! Sometimes, friends, non-Christians are more precise than we in the church. Well, we've got to have a committee meeting, and then we've got to pray for 2 years, and then we've got to decide. Whereas sometimes other people can make decisions straight off because they've thought it out. And we need sometimes to do that too. Now, I don't mean we put prayer down. I don't mean we ignore. But I mean, sometimes by the time we've made a decision, the thing we've made the decision about's long past and we need to make another decision. So we need to be a bit more with it in moving with things. So the king makes a decision. What do you want? And let's run with it. Now, he has some further requests, and I've said, is this cheeky? He says there in verse 7, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters to the governors of the province and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. Remember, the wall's broken down and the wooden gates have been burnt. So he realises that he's going to need to go through what we might call some enemy territory. And he also realises that he's going to need wood to rebuild the doors or the gates. How we need engineers in churches. How we need people who have thought through things. I just love it when people have got a strategy. Now, we need artists, we need creative people. I love that too. But isn't it good that when Nehemiah was asked, actually, Nehemiah, what do you want or what do you need, he can say, I've actually thought this through. I'm going to need a pass through these certain areas and I need the king's permission. And of course, when I get there, I'm going to need wood to rebuild the doors. Good, let's do it. When we first came to South Australia some 30 years ago, we were at the church at Enfield. And if you've been to the church at Enfield, there was an old hall with a sort of a toilet block, and there was the church building, and in between there was a big space. And of course, if it was wet, you had to run across. And they had plans drawn up, and it was going to cost all these zillions of thousands of dollars. So at one church meeting, this came up. How much do we need to borrow? And the treasurer said, how much are we prepared to repay every week? Like, if we had a loan, how much would we repay? Oh, no, I'm not exactly sure the amount. He said, righto, at the moment the interest rates are 16.5% if we took out a loan. Some of you would remember that time. So instead of taking out a loan, let's put that money into a separate bank account every week. And instead of paying 17 or 16.5%, let's receive that interest. And we did it. 4 years later, we built the foyer, linked the buildings, debt-free. I say, praise God for people in the church who have got brains and foresight. Oh, yes, we need dreamers. But please, 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 if you're a thoughtful person, you are needed to think those things through. So this is what he asks. He's thought it through. He knows what he wants. And so the king grants it. And he says, Nehemiah says, because God was on my side, or I was doing what God wants. Now, we don't exactly know the time frame, but it's amazing. So, from this little cupbearer bloke, who's a pagan in the sight of the king, they're not on the same religious ground or footing, he achieves this remarkable situation and an answer to prayer. Friends, isn't that a great encouragement to us? Who knows what God can do when we are faithful to him and we are doing something that he wants? Yet never be put down. Allow God to use what gift you've got. We might say, probably not a lot of talent needed for a cupbearer. Have a sip, have a look at the colour. Bit iffy. But how amazing that God uses Nehemiah. God can use all of us. In wonderful ways, wonderful ways. We don't have to be bouncing around doing things. We just need to be trusting God. Now, what about Nehemiah and us? Well, I've got down there some things for us to consider. Nehemiah expected God to answer prayer and was prepared to be part of the answer, whatever the cost. He was prepared to give up his job and to go into a situation. And when Peter read that, he read the last couple of verses that are going to be the link into next week. You've already got the hint, have you? That there's opposition. There are some people who are not happy. Whatever we want to do for God, there will be opposition, whether it's as a church, whether it's as an individual. We need to be alert. So, Nehemiah, he lived a God-honouring life. And that's a challenge to all of us. And I've put there in brackets, in our work. He reacted slowly, thoughtfully and prayerfully. When we're challenged with something, that's a good reaction. Slow, thoughtful and prayerful. And the last two probably can go together because it's a link of the secular and the sacred. You know, I often find it interesting when people say, oh, I just live for Sunday. What? Live for Sunday? No, we live the whole week. Sunday is meant to be just a restorative time to say, hey, we're all in this together. Not to pinch a phrase, but we're all in this together because we all love God. This is where we're encouraged. This is where we're reminded that prayer works. This is where we're reminded who our God is. And then out we go for the fun and the games of the week, whatever that entails, to share the love of God in our voice and in our lives. And then the other little bit, I just want to say to you who are planners and thinkers and workers through of situations, Nehemiah's plan. He received the truth and responded. We need to have the truth. That's very important. You know, I find it difficult in churches when people are evasive. We need the truth. Boom, and then we can act. If any of you have had a medical-ish history, once you know the truth, then you can see how you're going to deal with it. But when the doctor's saying, oh, it could be this or it could be that, we need to be careful. He prayed and affirmed faith in God. That's where we need to go. Specific prayer. This is the first step. If we want the whole world won for Jesus, well, how is it going to start? Well, it's going to start by me praying for my neighbour or my friend. That's the first step. Let's put prayer into logical steps. That's really very important. And his specific request was step two of the plan. First was, I need to be able to speak to the king. The second thing is, I need to have a plan of where this is going to lead us. Logical thought. Logic in the church. I've threatened to write a book called Common Sense Isn't Common in the Church. And some of you might be in that. First of all, we have Nehemiah's logical thought. Then we have the king's involvement. And over it all, we have the sovereignty of the living God. We need to see where Nehemiah is going to take us as we think about the wall. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you've given to each one of us a brain. And we thank you that you've given to us the promise of the wisdom of the living God if we trust you. So we pray that you would help us as a church and as individuals to think through carefully our plan and our direction, to wait upon you, to acknowledge your lordship, to affirm your great love for us. And we come before you this morning, thanking you for Nehemiah. We might see him as just an ordinary person, but with you on his side, he does profound things. And we ask the same. We might think that we're just one little person, but Father, with our trust in you, thank you that you can do wonderful things through us, not for our sake, but for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. With all of those things in mind, we're going to sing our final song together, which is a song of worship to the King of Kings, Majesty, and that reminder that we do serve a king, maybe not bringing a cup, but coming and bringing all that he has given us and all of the potential that we have as well. So I invite you to stand with me as we sing King of Kings, Majesty.
Gentle Savior.
Prayer as we go out this week is that all of those things that we've heard and been challenged with and encouraged by would actually just take root in our lives. And as we think through the words that we say and as we interact with people in our lives this week, may it all be done for your glory, serving your kingship, your kingdom, that we may be bringing your kingdom to this earth now as we look forward to your kingdom in the future. So help us, Lord God, as we do that. Be with us through your Holy Spirit, and just thank you for your promise to be with us in all of this. Amen. I just remind you, if you're going to get a tea or a coffee, maybe do that earlier rather than waiting too late. And if you're going to get coffees, please go out through the foyer. Or if you want a cup of tea, go through the hall and enjoy that, because we do need to be out of here by 12. So we don't want to rush you. But so we've got time now for fellowship and a cuppa.